So last week, I began a sermon on Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. And what we discovered last week in Acts chapter 2 was this whole idea of God saying, freedom for a purpose. I'm going to say that again. Freedom for a purpose. Where did we get that concept from in Acts chapter 2 from the Holy Spirit coming? We got that from Exodus. God's people, Israel, when Jesus or God brought them out of slavery, they had to go through a desert. 49 days later, they receive God's law, or 50th day, and they call that Penta. And so 50 days later, when God freed them, he said, hold on, your freedom is for a purpose. Here's my ways. Learn of my ways so that you can live in my ways. Freedom for a purpose. Pentecost. So in Acts chapter 2, we see once again when Jesus, when he frees us from the grip of darkness, he then, 50 days later on the day of Pentecost, he gives us his Spirit. Freedom for a purpose. Can I get an amen? For us to be witnesses to him. And so in this sermon series of the Holy Spirit, when he comes in Acts chapter 2, this is a recap of what I taught last week. The Holy Spirit comes and he does something really, 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 really incredible. It's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. When the Holy Spirit comes and finds a people, he calls us a chosen people, a royal priesthood. So you're just not like a priest that you do work, but you are co-heirs with Christ. That's that royal piece. And in the Old Testament, you couldn't be a priest and a king at the same time. God's like, nah, that ain't working. But in this new thing, he says, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's chosen possession to declare the works of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh, come on now. Somebody's here. Has anyone in here been called out of darkness? I know I have. I remember finding a church similar to this with people who God has given this Holy Spirit to, and finding a church where the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which is what we're talking about, was fully operating in these people. And what I knew in my heart, I was like, wow, there's something here that I don't have. And I wanted more of that. And so here we find ourselves in 2022, a group of people. The Holy Spirit is here. His gifts are here. And this series on the Holy Spirit part two, talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it's all about us diving in. So we have some key insights from last week. One of the key insights that we have is that the Holy Spirit is a manifestation. The gifts of the Holy Spirit is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit for the common good. I'm going to give you some insights from last week. What does that mean? That means that when we are gathered together with any group of the believers, when you see a gift of the Holy Spirit in operation, that means the Holy Spirit has arrived. The Holy Spirit is present among those people. That's real, y'all. And that's why the Bible says, you know, desire these gifts. Another insight that we saw last week is that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. These gifts are driven up into different categories. And one of those categories, I'm not sure if they're going to show the power or revelation gifts next, but it's called the power gifts. Oh, revelation gifts. Okay, power gifts. That's good. Faith, working of miracles, and gift of healing. So these are gifts that require power. Let's go to the first one here, the next one. Revelation gifts, that's a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, or discerning of spirits. You see these all throughout Jesus' life. And what we're talking about in this series, this week and next week, is the inspirational gifts, which is the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and lastly, prophecy. That's what we're diving into. And what I want to do in this sermon series today and next week, we're going to go and dive into the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation of tongues and prophecy. And so what we're going to do is we're actually just going to read the Bible. So what I want to ask you to do as you come with me on this journey of just reading, whatever your spiritual background is, whatever perspective, maybe, you know, you're a Baptist, you're Pentecostal, you're a Bapticostal, you know, whatever your heritage, you're Catholic, what I want you to do is I want you to honor your heritage, but I want you to set it to the side for a moment and then let God's word take center stage and speak to us. Can we do that? And as we read, I'm going to pull out things from the scripture and I'm going to highlight. It's kind of like a Bible study, except it's being done on a Sunday morning for a church gathering. So as you're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, that's where we're going to be at. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Today we're talking about the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues, and we'll cover prophecy tomorrow. As I begin to go through this, one of the things that we value here is we don't want anyone to leave with something on your heart. So if anything I teach this morning strikes a question, strikes a thought, do not leave without coming. Talk to me about it. Ask me a question about it or anything about our gathering, okay? So let's jump right into it. I'm going to pull out some things. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. You guys there? All right, it says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. So one of the things that we see here, that word eagerly, it's from the Greek word to pursue someone like you're going to persecute them. Right? So someone stole your favorite fill in the blank. You know what I'm saying? Someone stole your dog, all you dog lovers in the house, right? And you caught them. How are you going to chase after them, right? So when it says eagerly desire, it's saying I want you to have that desire for spiritual gifts, to pursue it like you're going to apprehend it. The word desire is the Greek word there for jealous. I want you to be jealous over these things. Okay, that's good to know. Let's keep going. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. So that's an insight that you're thinking about. Anyone who speaks into a tongue, you're not speaking to people, but you're speaking to God. What you're going to see as we read here is there are going to be some seemingly contradictory things, but they're not. And we're going to unpack that. So just let's keep going. All right, verse 3. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. In your Bible, circle that word mysteries. Circle that word mysteries. That word mystery, it's not a mystery as if something that is unknown. That word mystery is actually a word for something that is known. Look it up. So when he says that when you're speaking, no one understands you, but you're speaking mysteries. You're speaking things or you're revealing things by what? Verse 9, by the Spirit. So this is not purposeless. Let's keep going. Verse 8. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in tongues, you want to circle that word again, edifies themselves. That word edify that's there. If you ever drive up in a new construction zone and, you know, one day on your way to work, perhaps it's all trees. The next day as you get there, you see the trees are gone and it's gravel or it's mud. And then the next day you see a foundation that it's laid. That word there, edify, for anyone who speaks into tongue, edifies himself. It's literally the word that you're building a foundation. You're strengthening yourself as you're praying in tongues. So what we discovered here, there's some utility to this. Because anyone who's speaking to God, we just read, you're talking to God. You're speaking mysteries, revelations. You're laying a spiritual foundation for yourself. No wonder the enemy tries to create confusion around this gift. I don't want you to have a foundation. And if you're like me, you might be thinking, man, I know some people who speak in tongues and they are crazy. You know what? They actually might be. Just because you have a spiritual gift don't mean you have godly character. Just because you have spiritual gifts don't mean you have godly character. The gifts of the Spirit are without repentance. So don't let the operation of the gift of the Spirit pull you away from receiving the gift of the Spirit. Let the Word of God set things in proper order. Let's keep going here. He says, who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who speaks prophecies edifies the church. Once again, it's the same word. Anyone who gives a word or prophesies is building up the church. And he says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy, because the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues. Sounds confusing, right? Unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. So what he's saying is, if I sit here and I'm just like praying in tongues, he's like, that does you no good. Unless someone stands up and interprets, then you can be built up, you can be encouraged and strengthened by that. Have you ever been sitting in your house and you've just had a really rough go at it? Life is not working out like you want it to be, and you do one of those, God, where are you? God says, for moments like that, when you step into the community and the people of God, I have a word for you. I'll speak to somebody, maybe through the gift of tongues or maybe through the gift of interpretation of tongues, to encourage you. That's why when I became a Christian, I prayed to God, give me this gift called tongues, and better yet, give me this thing called interpretation of tongues, because I would be praying and somebody would be like, what you said? I don't know. And there's nothing like praying for somebody in the Spirit. And then God gives you that interpretation and is the exact thing that person needs to be built up. All right, we're going to go to verse 6 here, 1 Corinthians 14:6. In this sermon, this message, I really just want to give us a foundation straight from God's word. That's why we're just letting the Bible speak for itself. Verse 6. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring to you some revelation? Remember, when you speak in mysteries, you're speaking revelations. God is, when you're speaking in tongues, the mysteries is understanding. That's why Paul said, I have so much wisdom and understanding that I can't even share of it with you. And then that's why later on you read, Paul says, I speak in tongues more than all of you. No. Okay. Unless it brings you a revelation or knowledge or prophecy or a word of instruction. Verse 7. Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as the pipe or the harp, will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? He's using a natural example. Verse 8. Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? Verse 9. So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to exceed in the ones that build up the church. And then this is the reason, verse 13, he tells you should pray for the gift of interpretation. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray they may interpret what they say. Why? To build up the church. And so for those who are, maybe you've seen this gift before, he's telling us, pray that you may interpret what you say. Verse 14, and I'm going to talk about that as once I'm done reading this passage. I'm going to give us some practicality of that. Verse 14, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is what? Thank God for this passage. So I remember when I was seeking God and I was like praying, I would be praying and I'd be like, I don't know what I'm saying right now, God. And I remember this passage is your mind is unfruitful. It doesn't mean that your mind is not aware. It just says your mind is unfruitful. The Holy Spirit at this time is praying through you. So that notion of like, ooh, I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know what I'm praying for. It's totally okay. Don't worry about that. Keep praying. And then pray that you may interpret. Eagerly desire, chase after it. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but also I will sing with my understanding. So this idea of worship, singing in the spirit. And then he goes, verse 16, otherwise, when you are praising God in the spirit, how can someone else who is now put in a position of an inquirer say amen to your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you are saying? Remember, if you're praying in this and no one can understand you, they can't say amen. You are giving thanks well enough, but no one else is built up. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are to build up the church. Verse 18, this is where he says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Who's the all of you? The church in a city called Corinth that he's writing to. And then verse 19, but in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. And then I'm going to unpack this next passage in verse 20, 14, 20. Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. Soft jab. He literally calls them babies. Have you been in a conversation with someone, someone tells you, hey, stop thinking like a baby? That's pretty harsh. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. He's telling this church, hey guys, wake up, get this. Speaking in tongues is something that God prophesied would happen. And he pulls out this passage in Isaiah 28, chapter 11. And he says, tongues was always there as a method for God. And look what he says. In the law, it is written, with other tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people. But even then, they will not listen, says the Lord. Tongues then, verse 22, are a sign, not for believers, but for who? Unbelievers. Prophecy, which we'll talk next week, however, is not for the unbeliever, but for the believers. What does it mean by tongues are not a sign for believers or unbelievers? What we saw in Acts chapter 2. What you saw in Acts chapter 2, you can read it if you wasn't here last week, was a whole bunch of people speaking in a tongue. But the other people heard them in their own language. So this whole idea of speaking in tongues or using this gift, he is saying that when you're speaking in tongues and there's an interpretation of that tongue, if somebody in that room is an unbeliever, does not know the Lord, they can't deny that. Their secrets are laid bare. And it's interesting that it's only in the 21st century church that a large group of Christians, they disassociate themselves with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Whereas in the 21st century church, many people are going to the New Age where they have all the gifts, but not of the Holy Spirit. Where they have gifts of healing, they have gifts of miracles, they speak in tongues too. But not of the Holy Spirit. You see, Paul says, I don't want you to be like babies. I don't want to let your denominational background get you. I don't want you to let you know what your mama told you, what your daddy told you, what your youth pastor told you. I want you to go to the Word of God right now and see that the church that God is building, the church that God is equipping, this gift of tongues is a major, 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 major resource for the body of Christ. It's so much of a resource of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Guess what? All 8 of them was in the Old Testament. Working of miracles was in the Old Testament. Gift of faith was in the Old Testament. Discerning of spirits was in the Old Testament. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge was in the Old Testament. Prophecy was in the Old Testament. The only thing that is in the New Testament that is highlighted in Isaiah 28 was this gift of tongues and this gift of interpretation of tongues. And God was saying something with this. What he was saying is, I'm doing a new thing. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit, Joel chapter 2, verse 28, upon all flesh. And so what we see here in this passage, we see tongues. They're a way for us to speak to God. They're a way for us to speak to God. Number two, they're a way for us to pray. Number three, they're a way for us to worship. Number four, there's a way for us to receive understanding. Number five, they're a way for us to strengthen ourselves. Number six, they're a way for us to strengthen the church, and it's a sign for unbelievers. And I would argue that the biggest revelation of the gift of tongues that we have, that we often miss it, it's a gift of communication that God gives to build up his church. Say it again. It's a gift of communication of the Holy Spirit for God to say, I am with you. I am with you. Why is it a gift of communications? Primarily because through that gift of tongues, through your mind being unfruitful and the Holy Spirit praying through you, the Holy Spirit is encouraging and building up the church himself through words of encouragement from one another. And of course, it strengthens us, but it also is a gift of communication. And so I'm going to share with you a little bit of my story, and then I'll close with this. When I first became a Christian, as many of you know, I said I was, you know, a heathen, really not in Christ. I knew the first year or so, I knew I was in Jesus. I knew that my life was secure in him. But one thing I also knew, this is my story, so I'm not like, this is my story. One thing that I'm certain of, because I knew I really wanted more of the Spirit, right? I was sharing Jesus with people, but I knew I wanted more of the Spirit. And specifically, I knew I wanted this gift. And so one thing in my mind, what I realized is, okay, the Holy Spirit gives the gifts as he wills. So rather than seeking the gifts, I said, I'm going to seek the gift giver. And I rationed, if I seek the gift giver, that's a promise. I'm going to get that. And so I remember I began to pray, and I began to, every day I would go and I would shut my door and I say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Lord, I want to know you more. And then I would be praying simultaneously for this gift of tongues. And I remember as I was praying, I remember vividly, I just say, you know what? I'm just going to do this by faith. And I just started praying in tongues. And I'll never forget, before I did it, I went and made sure my door was shut. And then I had one eye open and one eye closed. And I was like praying. And I was like just praying something other than English. And let me tell you, it felt so awkward. For the first 30 days, I told no one. And I did that for 30 days and then 60 days, and I don't know how many other days I kept doing it, and I felt absolutely nothing. And then one day, while I was praying, I felt something, not something, it was the Holy Spirit. I felt this, like Jesus says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. I began to feel this infilling. I began to feel this inspiration to pray in tongues. And rather than me praying, it felt like someone was praying through me in language and in words that I did not understand. So does that mean the last 60 days was nothing? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But what I do know is something shifted that moment. And what I do know is I kept praying and I kept praying and I kept praying, and then eventually it became part of my everyday life. Do not be fooled. Praying in tongues will edify your body. It will strengthen you. I could tell you so many times in my Christian walk and in many of my friends who this gift is there, praying has literally lifted our spirits and lifted our bodies. Not just that, but I remember the interpretation of tongues. I begin to seek God and say, God, I want to know what I'm saying. The word says I'm speaking mysteries. The reason why I realized that is because every time I would pray in tongues, I would come back from that and I would just get understanding of something I didn't know before. And I was like, what is going on? Yeah. And the more I prayed, the more understanding continued to come. And then as I prayed for other people in the church or outside of the church, as I began to pray in tongues, I began to say, God, how does this gift of interpretation of tongues works? And one of the things that we began to do is I began to pray, and as I would pray in tongues, I would be like struggling. Ooh, what's the message? One of the things that I realized practically in that moment was that gift of interpretation. It takes an opportunity for you to step out in faith as you're using and exercising the gift and be willing for you to be wrong. What do I mean by that? As I would pray for people in tongues, and I would ask the Lord to give me their interpretation, I would literally just pray for them, and I would just wait. Sometimes I did not get an interpretation. Sometimes I think I did, and what I mentioned to that person was, hey, I just prayed to you in tongues. I think this is what this means. Forgive me if I am wrong. But I sense the Lord is saying this, and I begin to deliver that word. And I remember so many times I was wrong. It was embarrassing. I'll never forget one day as I was praying in tongues at a Bible study, and I felt like I had a word, and I was like, and I shared with the woman of the homeowner, I'm like, I sense that God is going to give you a new house, and I sense that this house is going to be a house where you can host a lot of people. And I was just like, oh, this is it. And my friend leaned over to me and said, bruh, she just bought this house like a year ago. You know, I was like way off. And I remember many times I was way off. But I remember many times being off allowed me to discern my voice from the Holy Spirit's voice. So those who are scared to step out in this for being wrong, don't forget you're human. It's when we make ourselves to be super Christians. It's when we make ourselves infallible that the shame of being wrong creeps in. And so many times I begin to pray in the Spirit and I begin to say, hey, I'm not sure, I may be wrong, but I sense this is the message for you. And the person would say, oh my God, how did you know that? And then I'm like, oh, okay, so that's the voice. So that's how this operation works in my life. And still to this day, many of the most incredible moments of me praying and ministering to people is when I speak in tongues and the Lord gives me the interpretation of the tongues, and it's exactly what the person needed. This is my story. For some folks, like my wife, as she was seeking this gift of the tongues, it didn't happen the same way. She was sitting right underneath a church pew, and all of a sudden, she was praising God in English, and in one moment, she was praising God in another language. For my professor in Bible college, he was in the shower. He was singing a song, and all of a sudden, he was praising God in another language. But one thing that was common for all of them is that they were seeking and eagerly desiring this gift. And I'm going to close with this. You might be thinking, man, why are we spending time talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Like, we should be talking about, like, really, really, really more pertinent things. It's a surefire sign that God is with you. And in this world, one of the things that we talked about on the trip, we met somebody who was involved in human trafficking. You know, she did the ministry of human trafficking, rescuing people. And I'll never forget one day, at the same time as I was seeking this gift, Many of you have heard this story before, but the Lord used a gift of the Spirit to let